Volume 4, Number 504, Jesus, Light of the World. Jesus is still in Jerusalem, but not in the courts of the temple. He is in a beautifully decorated, vast room, one of the many to be found within the enclosure, which is as large as a village. He has just gone in and is still walking beside the person who invited him to go in, probably to protect him from the cold wind blowing on the Moriah. And he is followed by the apostles and some disciples. I say some, because besides Isaac and Margium, there is Jonathan, and among the crowds, who also go in behind the master, there is the Levite, Zacharias, who a few days previously told him that he wanted to be his disciple. And there are two more men, whom I have already seen with the disciples, but whose names I do not know. But among those well-disposed people, there are also the usual, unavoidable, unchangeable Pharisees. They stop almost at the door, just as if they happened to be there by chance to discuss business. But they are there to listen. The people present are eager to hear the word of the Lord. He looks at the assembly of people of clearly different nationalities, as they are not all Palestinians, although of Jewish religion. He looks at all the people gathered, many of whom will perhaps return tomorrow to the regions from which they came, and will relate his word there, saying, "We have heard the man who is said to be our Messiah." And he does not speak to them of the law, as they are already acquainted with it, as he often does when he realizes that his listeners are not familiar with it, or their faith is shaken. But he speaks of himself, that they may know him. He says, "I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And he becomes silent after enunciating the theme of his speech, as he usually does when he is going to deliver a momentous speech. He keeps silent to give the people time to decide whether they are interested in the subject or not, and also to give them time to go away if the subject is of no interest to them. None of the people present go away. On the contrary, the Pharisees, who were near the door, intent on a forced, affected conversation, and who have become silent and have turned towards the interior of the synagogue at Jesus' first word, go in elbowing their way with their unfailing arrogance. When all the whispering is over, Jesus repeats the aforesaid sentence in an even louder voice, and he goes on to say, "I am the light of the world, because I am the Son of the Father, who is the Father of the light. A son is always like the father who begot him and is of the same nature. Likewise, I am like, and I have the same nature as, he who begot me. God, the Most High, the perfect and infinite Spirit, is light of love, light of wisdom, light of power, light of goodness, light of beauty. He is the Father of the lights. And he who lives of him and in him can see, because he is in the light, as it is God's desire that men should see. And he gave man intelligence and feelings, that he might see the light, that is, God himself, and understand and love it. And he gave man eyes, that he might see the most beautiful of all things created, the perfection of elements, through which creation is visible, and which is one of the first actions of God Creator, and bears the most visible sign of him who created it. Light. The incorporeal, bright, beatific, consoling, necessary light, as is necessary the Father of all, God eternal and most high. By an order of his thought, he created the firmament and the earth, that is, the mass of the atmosphere and the mass of dust, the incorporeal and the corporeal, what is very light and what is heavy, but both still barren, void, and shapeless, because they were enveloped in darkness, devoid of stars, and lifeless. But to give the earth and the firmament their true features, to make of them two beautiful things, useful and suitable for the continuation of his creative work, the Spirit of God, that hovered over the waters and was one thing with the Creator who was creating and with the Inspirer who urged to create, in order to be able to love not only himself in the Father and in the Son, but also an infinite number of creatures named stars, planets, waters, seas, forests, plants, flowers, animals that fly, wriggle, creep, run, jump, climb, and finally, man. The most perfect creature, more perfect than the sun, because he is endowed with soul as well as with matter, with intelligence as well as with instinct, with freedom as well as with rules, man similar to God because of his spirit, similar to animals because of his body. The demigod, who becomes God by the grace of God and his own will. The human being who can transform himself into an angel if he wishes so. The beloved being of sensible creation, for whom, although he knew that he would be a sinner, even before time existed, he prepared the Savior, the victim in the being loved beyond measure, in the Son, in the Word, for whom everything was made. But to give the earth and the firmament their true features, as I was saying, the Spirit of God hovering over the cosmos shouts, and it is the first time that the Word shows himself. Let there be light. And there was light. Good, beneficial, strong during the day, dim at night, everlasting until the end of time. From the ocean of wonders, which is the throne of God, the bosom of God, God draws the most beautiful gem, and it is the light preceding the most perfect gem, that is, the creation of man, in whom there is not a jewel of God, but God himself, breathing over the dust to make it living flesh, and his heir to the heavenly paradise, where he awaits the just, his children, that he may rejoice in them, and they in him. If at the beginning of creation, God wanted light on his works, if to make light he used his word, If God grants those whom he beloves his most perfect likeness, light, material, joyful, incorporeal light, wise, sanctifying, spiritual light, is it possible that he has not given the Son of his love what he is himself? Really, the Most High has given everything to him in whom he is well pleased from eternity. And he wanted the light to be the first and the most powerful of everything, so that without waiting to ascend to heaven, men might know the wonder of the Trinity that makes the blissful heavenly choruses sing because of the harmonious joy they admire, and that angels enjoy contemplating the light that is God, the light that fills paradise, making all its inhabitants blissful. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As light on the shapeless earth made life possible for plants and animals, so my light makes eternal life possible for spirits. I, being the light that I am, create life in you, and I preserve it. I increase it. I recreate you in it. I transform you. I take you to the abode of God along the ways of wisdom, of love, of sanctification. He who has the light possesses God, because the light is one thing with charity, and he who has charity has God. He who has the light possesses the life, because God is there where his beloved Son is welcomed. You are talking nonsense. Who has seen what is God? Not even Moses saw God, because in Horeb, as soon as he realized who was speaking from the blazing bush, he covered his face. Neither could he see him on the other occasions because of the dazzling lightning. And you say that you saw God? The face of Moses, who had only heard him speak, remained brightly radiant. But what radiance is there on your face? You're a poor Galilean, with a pale face like most of your countrymen. You're ill, tired, and thin. If you had really seen God and he did love you, you would not look like a dying man. You want to give your life when you have not got enough for yourself. And they shake their heads, pitying him ironically. God is light, and I know which is his light. Because children know their father, and each knows himself. I know my father, and I know who I am. I am the light of the world. I am the light, because my father is the light, and he begot me, and gave me his nature. The word does not differ from the thought, because the word expresses what the intellect thinks. In any case, do you no longer know the prophets? Do you not remember Ezekiel, and above all Daniel? When the former describes God, seen in the vision, on the chariot of the four animals, he says, "On the throne there was one who looked like a man, and within him and around him I saw a kind of yellow amber which resembled fire. And from his loins upwards and downwards I saw a kind of fire and a light all around, like a rainbow in the clouds on rainy days. That is how the surrounding light appeared." And Daniel says, "I was watching until the thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His robe was as white as snow, his hair as pure as wool. His throne was a blaze of flames, and the wheels of his throne were a burning fire. a stream of fire poured out, issuing from his presence. God is like that, and I shall be like that when I come to judge you. Your testimony is not valid. You bear witness to yourself. So what is the value of your testimony? As far as we are concerned, it is false. Although I bear witness to myself, my witness is true, because I know from where I came and where I am going. But you know neither from where I come nor where I am going. Your wisdom is what you see. I instead know everything that is unknown to man. And I have come that you may become acquainted with it as well. That is why I said that I am the light. Because light reveals what was concealed by darkness. In heaven there is light. On the earth there is, above all, the reign of darkness, which conceals the truth from spirits, because darkness hates the spirits of men and does not want them to become acquainted with the truth and the truths, so that they may not be sanctified. And that is why I came, that you may have light and consequently life. But you do not want to receive me. You want to judge what you do not know, and you cannot judge it because it is so much higher up than you are and cannot be understood by anyone who does not contemplate it with the eyes of the spirit, of a humble spirit nourished with faith. Instead, you judge according to the flesh, so your judgment cannot be true. I instead do not judge anybody. If I can abstain from judging, I look at you mercifully and I pray for you that you may open out to light. But when I have to judge, then my judgment is true, because I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me, and from his glory he can see the interior of hearts. And as he sees yours, he can see mine. And if he saw an unjust judgment in my heart, for my sake and for the honor of his justice, he would inform me. But the Father and I judge in one way only. And so we are in two, and I am not alone in judging and bearing witness. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses giving the same evidence is to be accepted as true and valid. So I bear witness to my nature, and the Father who sent me testifies the same thing. So what I say is true. We cannot hear the voice of the Most High. You say that he is your Father. He spoke of me at the Jordan. All right, but you were not the only one at the Jordan. There was also John. He might have spoken of him. He was a great prophet. You are condemning yourselves with your own lips. Tell me, who speaks through the lips of the prophets? The Spirit of God. And was John a prophet according to you? One of the greatest, if not the greatest. Well then, why did you not believe his words? And why do you not believe them? He pointed me out as the Lamb of God, who had come to cancel the sins of the world. When he was asked whether he was the Christ, he replied, I am not the Christ. I am one who precedes him. And behind me there is he who actually precedes me, because he existed before me, and I did not know him. But he who took me from the womb of my mother and invested me with my mission in the desert and sent me to baptize said to me, He upon whom you will see the Spirit descend, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Do you not remember? And yet many among you were present. So why do you not believe the prophet who pointed me out after hearing the words of heaven? Have I to tell my father this, that his people no longer believe in the prophets? And where is your father? Joseph the carpenter has been sleeping for years in a sepulcher. You no longer have a father. You know neither my father nor me. But if you wanted to know me, you would know also my true father. You are possessed and a liar. You are a blasphemer, as you insist in maintaining that the Most High is your father. You deserve to be stoned according to the law. The Pharisees and the others of the temple shout threateningly, while the people look at them grimly, anxious as they are to defend the Christ. Jesus looks at them without saying anything further, and he then leaves the room by a little side door, opening onto a porch.